Wednesday, the 30th of August. The proper tip of the day is the following. Winter is coming. Get ready. I say again, winter is coming. Get ready. With patient Wayne Green and my friend, Professor James McKinney, the real writer of The Lost Ark. Professor McKinney taught astrophysics at Cornell University. He taught mathematics at Cornell University. He's an advanced archaeologist, advanced to the point where foreign governments consult with him about matters of archaeology. The author of about 13 books, more to come as he finds time. His website is linked on my links page at thelibertyman.com. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, John. How are we
good
doing?
Good to have you with us, sir. Are you near a jungle or near, or someplace more civilized, sir?
Well, actually more civilized, yeah. This
All
week.
Right. Okay.
Last week was a little different. I was... anyway.
Yeah. Here's an update. Yeah, I think you may like this. There's a group called the Global Climate Intelligence Group. And in that group, 1,609 scientists and climate and scientific professionals have signed a declaration saying that the human-caused climate change is a fantasy, basically. that's good news, isn't it?
Well, yeah. The pendulum is swinging back, but it took decades to do that.
I know.
And I said that from the very beginning, but... It's just fantasy. The whole political agenda, you know, fear science, we call it emotional science. Just about everything that is promulgated today is based on really not science at all. And if you take it, like if you say go through my books or listen to my radio shows, this show, you know, literally everything in astronomy, everything. I mean, you can't even turn over a rock and find one thing that's even half true. It's just incredible. You know, and from astronomy, all of the other sciences follow, including archaeology, geology, everything. You know, how the planets were formed, how the moon was formed, what we should be doing in space. Oh, just on and on, you know, just absolute insanity. But the whole climate thing has taken a life of its own. It's become so huge that it just dominates everything. And, of course, it's a political football for the world agenda to, first of all, control water. That was the thing that is number one on the list. Whenever you see global climate change, in the next sentence is something about control of water. And then after that come all the other things, the carbon taxes and the, you know, the huge spending on infrastructure that doesn't work. You know, it's just incredible. You know, and the idea that three-blade wind turbines and solar panels will work. Somebody wrote to me the other day, a fan, and they said, how come I never see the wing generator in videos or in newspaper articles or, you know, online, people interviewing me about it? It's just not visible. It just, you know, it's just completely wiped off the map. And my own personal experiences, I could write books about what I've gone through personally, things like the X Prize, you know, where I was the only finalist left and they brought in another finalist to win $1.5 million with it, and they had no solution. You know,
really?
It just doesn't end. It just doesn't end.
Well, the powers that be are very clever who they choose to represent them. We have the former Secretary of State, John Kerry, former Vice President of the United States, Al Gore, representing these bizarre, freakish, make-believe, human-caused climate scenarios, don't they?
Yeah. And these are people are not scientists. They're just New World Order pawns. They've made their living off of conning the public and being people who they're representing things that they don't know anything about. But... So anyway, that's good news. The issue issue is, will it get to politicians? And that's where the crux of the issue is. You get the politicians who are advancing their own personal cause by saying climate change. And, you know, we're going to do something. We're going to, we're going to fix this. We're going to put money into it. And whenever you put government money into something, the people just line up. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? You know, especially scientists. The scientists are probably the worst of the, you know, intellectual prostitutes out there, because, you know, they don't know how to create science. They don't know how to do science. All they know how to do is open up a government provided grant book and pick something that maybe they can do. And then, of course, they're going to get positive results, won't they? Because they want the grant to continue. It's, you know, that's science today.
Absolutely. Well, Jim, as you know, I like to get an archaeological update every week. What do you got for us this week, sir?
Oh, yeah, I tell you, this has been a busy week, so I don't have anything really new.
Well, anything new, but let's talk a bit about one of my favorite continents, the continent of the Antarctic, which Christopher Columbus had a copy of an ancient chart that showed the Antarctic with no ice, done by an admiral, Pyrrhus Rhee, I believe, was that his name?
The way they pronounce it today is Perry Reese.
Perry Reese, okay, I need to get that right. Which obviously, whoever made those charts made them before the Antarctic had ice, or they had the technology we have now to see through the ice, which has only existed since World War II, about 75 years, to look through the ice and see where the dirt stops and the water begins. The Antarctic, I believe, and going back to John Kerry, who at the time on Election Day in 2016, where was John Kerry, Secretary of State? He was in the Antarctic, followed within the next 90 days by the head of the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Pope, and Vladimir Putin, and others, we don't know who they were, all being in the Antarctic within about 3 months of each other. Men at that level of importance don't travel the Antarctic unless they have a really pressing need to, do they, sir?
No, not at all. And those maps, by the way, the Perry Reese map was from old Phoenician maps. That's where they got that. And, of course, they didn't really know what they had. And that's the shoreline that Columbus was looking for. And so you can imagine you're coming in a boat. You've never been in this part of the world before. You're, you know, a navigator. So you're looking for bays and inlets. And,
right.
You know, to identify that shoreline. And then from there, the idea was to continue straight to go to India.
Right.
And that was what Columbus was doing. But he had the Perry Reese map. And, of course, at the time, Antarctica was covered with ice, so he would have been very disappointed. So all Columbus did is he went down in latitude till he reached the latitude of India, and he went west. That's what he did. And he ran into, you know, into the Caribbean islands and eventually into the landmass of the North, Central, and South American coastlines. And, of course, never found the map. But, you know, you got to wonder what it was like being on one of those little ships and being tossed around in these, you know, probably 50 to 70-foot ocean waves with the sailors, you know, scared out of their minds. And Columbus knowing that, well, this is just a regional storm, we'll get through it and keep going. But I've been on the ocean in boats of many different sizes, all the way from cruise ships down to 20-foot sailing boats. And right. The little boats really handle the waves much better. The big boats are the ones that have problems when you get to really severe weather. So a small boat like they had was really well built. It was like a bathtub, kind of.
Right.
You know, very strong for its size. And you know, so they would just keep bouncing back. But imagine, it was a pretty rough ride. I just saw an announcement that there was a rough turbulence, a jet coming into, I think it landed in Atlanta, but you know, some serious injuries from people being bounced around from serious turbulence. But can you imagine a little boat like that with probably hurricane force winds and 50-foot waves bouncing around the ocean?
Those ships, what was the approximate size of those ships, if you recall offhand?
You know, I don't remember. I don't really know. But they were little. I would say maybe 75 feet.
I was guessing about that, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. They were coastal trading vessels was what they were. They were Portuguese, from what I understand. They were Portuguese coastal sailing vessels. And, you know, designed to go up
the whole
and down
deal,
the Canada.
Well, they had trading routes that went to India. But the Muslims were causing huge problems with their the criminal activity the Muslims had for the tradesmen. So they were looking for a safe way to get to the, let's see, it looks like they were called a carack. The deck was 58 feet long and it weighed 100 tons, 100-ton displacement. Deck length in the Santa Maria was 60 feet and so forth. So these were relatively small ships, weren't they?
Right, right, right. But very stout, let's put it that way. You know, really well built. They had been sailing long enough where they had the down, you know, the rigging and everything else to where it was pretty strong. But, you know, a bigger ship would have had a harder time, is my point. You know, those 70 feet would be about the right size for a really well-built wooden boat, you know, made with trunnels you know. But remember, by the time they got back from their first trip, two of the boats didn't make it. They had to pile everybody onto a single boat to get back to
Europe. Santa Maria went aground on a sandbank in Haiti, and they built a fort out of the timbers. We had a caller here. We got John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. Some of them are saying that the current weather pattern change we're seeing are man-made, only in the sense that they're being manipulated by a scalar wave technology or CERN or HARP. What do you have to say to that?
Yeah, it's none of the above. There's a lot of manipulation going on. There's a lot of chemical trail spraying going on in certain places. But the real weather manipulation is done by laser satellites. And so
laser satellites. So
yeah,
how does the laser satellite differ? What's the effect different than from if you increase the methane or carbon dioxide in the atmosphere?
Those have really no effect at all. And a lot of those sites are basically government-supported disinformation sites. But you'd have to read my books to understand. I have an entire book that describes the processes. So I suggest you go do that. But basically, they control the low-pressure cells. And by controlling the low-pressure cells, you control the wind direction and other factors. That suggests you've asked that a few times, John. And
I know,
so,
but I just want to know what the full nature of the fallacy of increasing methane and carbon dioxide. How much would you have to increase it actually to where you have a noticeable change in temperature on the surface of the Earth? If you did, increase it enough, would you suffocate people?
No. It's not even in the ballpark.
It's not possible, it's not John. Thank you for your call.
So it's complete.
We need to move on, John. Thank you for your call. Jim Noir would answer his question is the following. They can use laser technology to manipulate some weather some of the time, but not all the weather all the time. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, exactly. And the hurricane going into Florida right now shows all the earmarks of a controlled storm. When it's coming up those banks in the western Florida, and this has happened before, those hurricanes should be losing energy, not gaining energy.
The hypothesis put forth about carbon dioxide is the opposite. If we want a lush, green, magnificent, green, healthy planet, we want more carbon dioxide, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it's the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is insignificant.
Right.
It's absolutely just a minimal part of the atmosphere. And the whole idea of the greenhouse effect, which nobody talks about anymore, because it's been thoroughly disproven scientifically that it simply doesn't work. I've given whole series of lectures on this. But basically, the idea of a greenhouse is that, or a car on a hot day, is you have air that's contained. And in the open atmosphere, you don't have air that's contained. The reality is that, like, if you have a heat engine, a nuclear power plant, or if you have a automobile engine, or if you have a coal-burning power plant, the amount of heat put directly into the atmosphere, the process is at best 25% efficient. So 75% of the heat is going directly into the atmosphere every day. And they're talking about a little bit of an effect in 20 years from a little bit of carbon dioxide. And the Earth, the point is that the Earth dispels that heat every day in balances. And so, it's like a giant sledgehammer versus a little jeweler's mallet. The difference between the heat generated directly from burning fossil fuels, which is a misnomer, and carbon dioxide effects. It just, and that's why John's asking, well, how much would you need? It's like you could put 1,000 times more CO2 in the atmosphere and it wouldn't do anything.
Except make the plants that already exist healthier and grow faster and better.
Yeah, well, if you look at the mastodons, for example, living out on the Siberian tundra, what is now Siberian tundra, or the dinosaurs even more so, where you have millions of dinosaurs living all over the earth, like we find them in bones in Wyoming,
right,
where you couldn't support a little dinosaur, let alone millions of big ones.
Right.
The whole earth climate was totally different, had huge amounts of CO2. And
we have callers on hold. We have a break. We have Oregon from Norway, by the way. We'll get back from the break.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBN Readers 2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBN Readers 2023 at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
There's a point, 7,000 RPM, where everything fades. The machine becomes weightless, just disappears. And all that's left is a body moving through space and time. 7,000 RPM, that's where you meet it. You feel it coming, creeps up on you close in your ear. Ask you a question, the only question that matters. Who are you?
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. My Labor Day sale of energy cleaners and mattress pads is in effect right now until midnight. Labor Day, it is coming Monday. $25 off energy cleaners, 25% off mattress pads. You can place your order right at my website at thelibertyman.com or call my toll-free order line 24 hours a day, 800-592-9543. For visiting with Professor James McCann, his website is linked at my links page at thelibertyman.com. Jim, before we get back to our caller, tell us how people can listen to your radio show live into the archives, if you would, please.
Yes, John. Thursday evening, which would be tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central Time, from WWCR Nashville, Tennessee, the James McCanny Science Hour at the Crossroad airs in its 23rd year and continuing commercial-free. And also the archives all available on my webpage, which is jmccsci.com, which is linked from your page, John. And also I should mention that we've got a Labor Day fall sale on the water filters, the MR5s. And so to go check that out and become water independent.
All right. Jim, our first caller is from several time zones away. We got Oregon and Norway. Good morning, Oregon. Oregon, you're on here. Oregon, go ahead.
Nope.
Well, we had some technical difficulties. Maybe we'll put Oregon back on hold and get to him later. Lynn in Maryland. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, John. Thank you very much, and thank you, Dr. McKinney. I have two questions. Hopefully I can make this sound intelligent. The first one has to do with something I saw, and it was a long time ago, probably around 2016, 2017. I used to pay attention to what was going on in the night sky, and, you know, things were much more visible that were up there. But I remember seeing aerosol being dispersed. And what it was being dispersed from was not something I could see, but I could see aerosol being dispersed. But then it was beamed, like with a laser beam type of thing. Can you explain that? What's the purpose of beaming? Is it to activate it, or what were they doing, do you think?
Okay, yeah, I, without knowing more, you know, it's hard to say what I don't recognize what you're saying. There's laser activity going on, I'm not sure what you saw.
Okay, all right, and I'm probably not explaining that too clearly. And my other question, though, also does have to do with laser beams. Remember reading in Annie Jacobson's book about DARPA, you know, in the history of, you know, the bomb and all of that, and then developing lasers, you know, like I guess they were trying to build an Iron Dome and thought it was a good idea to, like, explode nuclear weapons in the atmosphere. I don't know, I just would have thought that wasn't a great idea, but... But one of the things that I remember reading in the book was that they used some type of, like, nuclear type of detonation to set off a laser. Is that still the case? Like, how did they make a laser a laser? How did they make it work?
Well, it's a series of mirrors and a source that they... can put the light in phases, a single phase source of light and single frequency, and they're able to build up the energy. And when you add phases in light, becomes very powerful. The light that comes out of, say, a white light that's on your wall or something is a whole mixture of frequencies, and they're in opposite phases. But if you could take just the light that comes off a normal 100-watt light bulb or even LED light bulb today and put all of that in phase, you'd have a tremendously powerful light source, because the light adds. It's like any wave phenomenon. It's like if you could take all the waves in the ocean and put them in phase and build on top of each other, you would get a much larger wave. So anyway,
kind of energy.
But they're not using nuclear.
Hold on, Lynn. We got a break. We'll wrap this part of our conversation up after the break. We'll be right back.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. Ugh. What's a girl to do? Signed, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com, and Sleepless, there's a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner, I'm sleepless no more. And let's just say there's plenty more going on in my bedroom than dreams and snoring. I've got to go. He's at the door.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait, Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. A lot there to educate you about COVID and the COVID clot shots at the COVID panel. The Labor Day sale on energy cleaners is in effect right now until midnight Monday, Labor Day. $25 off energy cleaners, 25% off mattress pads. When you place your order, you pay full price. I refund the sale price manually. And, of course, my toll-free hour line, the same thing. That's 800-592-9543. Visiting Professor James McCanny's website is linked to my links page at thelibertyman.com. And is Lynn still with us?
I'm here, and I appreciate you taking the time, John. Thank you very much, and thank you, Dr. McCanny.
Okay.
You have a
and I'll look
question,
for your
Lynn?
Show tomorrow night. I always try to find it on the dial. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn. We appreciate your call. Looks like Oregon is back. Good morning, Oregon.
Let's see. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, right. Good afternoon to you. No, I'm in good afternoon land. Good morning to you guys. Good morning, gentlemen.
Okay. What's on your mind today, Oregon?
Well, I'm listening into the discussion about manipulated weather. And, for the record, I think it was like the previous week or the week before, out in the Pacific, right outside the Baja, around Mexico, there was a manipulated storm, Hurricane Hillary, standing out like a big, ugly red dimple in the Pacific, struggling to go against the general tenor of the wind, and just about making it up to San Diego with a little bit of energy left to, it was just a small spray of rain, I think. But they ginned that up a lot in the news, announcing it was coming and it's going to be big. At the time, that was the only hurricane in the entire Western Hemisphere. Today, we are, as per defined by James McKinney in Principia Meteorologia, we are in a conjunction with Saturn, and out around in the Western Hemisphere, you can see at least 7 hurricanes of different sizes starting to form. And I don't think there's going to be too much rain in any of them, because from what I have, my studies with the Milky Way, there's not a lot of material coming in to feed these storms, but these are natural storms. So to the listeners that are looking at these things, they can compare. Look at the satellite images from Hurricane Hillary, and compare with the natural forming storms out here today.
Just a comment on the hurricane going into Florida. I think it has, in spite of efforts to try and build it up before it hit, and all of the publicity that all the weather channels threw into this thing, it's really kind of petering out. It's by the time it gets inland a little bit, there are natural forces that prevent them from bringing hurricanes up the west coast of Florida. It's always been that way. They've done this many times. There was a Hurricane Michael, I think it was like 2016. But the bank there shorts out the hurricanes, and no matter how hard they try, they just can't get these hurricanes to come in at a Cat 5 is what they're hoping. They were hoping that this storm, Idalia, I think it's named, would come across northern Florida, then Georgia, then the Carolinas, and then go back out to sea. But it's just not doing that. It's pretty much fizzling out by natural causes.
Yes, and I think that is, we are already past the main connection with Saturn. So perhaps already these storms are simmering down. But that's my take from what I've learned from you, is that these are natural storms, and Hurricane Hillary was definitely a manufactured one. You could even see that it had this elongated hole in the middle.
Right. Right. When you see that, see that in this current hurricane in Florida too. You could see the way they were trying to stretch the hurricane to power it up and then drag it back out to away from land, because the tendency was for it to swing into land and short out more. And they've done that before, too. They keep trying to drag it out. But what happens is it dumps all its water. And so I saw in the newsreels where they have a newsman standing there, there was no rain. This storm was not producing any rain.
I just keep banging a bit on my own drum. There's not so much coming in from the Milky Way at this time. So that's why it's that's a factor. I think you should look into that, McKinney, because the way I see it, our sun, our solar system is part of the Milky Way, and I think this is a the Milky Way plays a big part in what weather we get there. That's where our conveyor belt.
It's a very,
you can say
very
this.
Long
you have you know you have the effect. Head to say this. I don't, but I can just observe it. And this has something to do with your work, and I think it works something like an extension of it.
Yeah, when I was working with the Russian scientists, they were working on intergalactic effects, and they're very, very long-term effects. There's an intergalactic medium that our sun moves through. Yeah, but the tendencies, uh, the effects are very long term. But anyway, thank you, Argon.
So that's Ankontiki. That was even smaller than the Santa Maria. It was just made of reeds, bamboo, across the Pacific. Incredible achievement.
Yeah.
So,
Are you there, John?
I'm here.
John.
Go ahead. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, thanks, Oregon.
Thanks for the call, Oregon. Yep. We appreciate it as always. Our next caller is Mike in Kentucky. Good morning, Mike.
Well, great. Thanks for taking my call. A couple breaks back before you couldn't get the guy on from Norway. As you were going to break, you were talking about how different the atmosphere was. And when we look up at the moon, we can see there's a huge disparity in some of the surface area as far as impacts go. It points toward some of the, especially the dark areas, of being much, much younger. And they're not all impact craters. You know, there is a one that's kind of on the eastern side. When you see the crescent moon is ringed by mountains, it's kind of neat in a telescope. It's really young. You know, there's hardly any major craters that you can see, and a lot of the Maria were seas. I haven't found it yet, but somebody told me about a vertical formation of rock that has dinosaur footprints in it. And, of course, down in Texas, there's the famous creek bed that has supposedly human and dinosaur footprints together. And you kind of have to wonder, well, how in the heck did that survive, you know, millions of years of erosion? And you start to look into this, and you find out maybe that the scientific community and several schools has this habit of dismissing things that they don't want to deal with as anomaly. So it doesn't fit the theories that they want to go with. So it gets kind of set aside. I don't know, do you ascribe to any of the cultural hints or clues that we have that there was a time before we even had a moon? The moon was captured, in other words?
Well, all of the planets were captured, and that's something I talk about in all of my work, that the only original members of the solar system were Jupiter and the Sun, and maybe Saturn was a triple, and somehow is nestled, but everything else was captured, came at a later date. The moon may have been here before Earth was here. We don't know.
The idea that the Earth is basically a dirty ball of comet dust really started to hit me when I saw a meteor storm. It wasn't just a meteor shower. I don't remember exactly if it was the Pylades. It was one of the fall meteor showers that was just absolutely awesome. And I feel so blessed to have seen that, but it makes me wonder how much the Earth vacuums up still at this, you know, late stage of the formation of the solar system. It's still vacuuming up an unknown amount of stuff that adds to our atmosphere and volume and perhaps helps to contribute to the expansion of the Earth. It's grown in size.
I talk about that in my books. You should take a look at them.
Yeah, well, I just didn't hear it mentioned much this morning. I think it's a factor for the weather when it comes to cosmic radiation. The guy from Norway was maybe trying to hint at that. And there's some clues that we see from archaeology or geology, I should say, that there's been fairly significant cosmic ray storms that would affect things like the magma of the Earth and maybe, who knows, cause the Earth's crust to slip around and you get these massive, jutting up of pieces of the Earth, you know, that are nearly vertical, hinting at some...
I suggest you take a look at my books on that, all those topics.
I'm glad to hear you're still on WWCR. I didn't hear the frequency, though.
Yeah, it's look on my webpage. It gives different frequencies.
Sometime at different times of night, you know, it switches over from the 10 megahertz band down to 3 or back and forth, and yeah, it'd be nice to know.
Right.
Flipping around.
Look at my webpage. I have a subpage, How to Listen. And it'll tell you.
Yeah. We do have quite a few tech refuseniks or Luddites on this network that don't actually have the internet. They get a friend to set them up a free-to-air satellite, and so they don't necessarily hear, they don't know the frequency you're on because they refuse to get on the internet. So I've talked to several of them.
All of that is on the webpage.
Yeah, hopefully they can find a friend that'll look it up for them. But hurricane, I was going to ask you if you'd looked at Hurricane Florence. To me, that was a blatant situation of steering where it the barometric pressure dropped enough for it to be a Category 5, strong Category 5, but in the last two nights before it made landfall in North Carolina, and it was headed right for us, and I was, like, wondering what to do because I knew there was all these nuke steam plants down there that was going to be flooded. Very last minute, I saw a notch cut in it at, like, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then again the second night. Very simple technology to do. They've been playing around with this since the 40s. I can't remember the project. The Top Secret project was leaked out for when they steered a hurricane and accidentally, supposedly, it made a left turn into New Jersey and caused a big bunch of problems. Florence, to me, if you look at it, and I've got some slides I collected on it, looks like a blatant example of some simple technology, and the insurance industry would completely stay quiet about it because it saved them something like $20 billion in damage. But South Carolina was hit, so you got good reason to everybody just keep quiet about it, you know. And we've saved you all a bunch of money. Just like the telephone industry, the insurance industry can be pressured into going along with stuff. I believe. Have you looked at Florence?
Yeah.
From a couple of years back?
No.
Okay, I'll try to find you an email. I'll send you some images I collected from satellite. But the barometric pressure continued to drop, and yet the wind speed went down, which is the opposite of what normally happens. So,
great call, Mike. We do appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Jim, we've got about 2 minutes before the next break. What direction would you like to go next, sir?
Well, he mentioned the insurance industry, and this is something I've been following. This storm in Florida is going to cause the insurance rates to skyrocket for that whole southern part of the country. In fact, housing insurance costs are going to double and triple in the next year, and they're going to claim that it's due to climate change and severe storms. And I saw this one woman, she's on the news, she goes, I've been in the insurance business 12 years. And I've never seen it so bad. It's like, honey, 12 years is nothing, you know, when you're looking at climate trends. But the whole point is the insurance companies are going to take a little bit of a hit. John, what if you had a business there? You could take a little bit of a loss for the next 100 years of super gain. Would you do that? You know, and that's what the insurance companies are doing now. They're going to take this little bit of a hit so that they can then charge everybody, you know, double, triple your home insurance, and people are going to be caught. And what do? You got to pay it, especially mostly everybody has a loan, or don't pay it and not have any insurance.
Right. Well, I'm interested to see what the insurance companies do with the devastation in Hawaii. And we got a caller here. We got a break coming up. We got Kevin in Tennessee. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Thanks, John, for taking my call. And, Jim, it's an honor and privilege to talk to you. I wish I could pick your brain forever. You got so much information. Just two quick questions. One is that statement is that I heard that they made a warship way back when that was as big as an aircraft carrier, and I think they used like catapults or whatever, but they never fired it. When it went into harbors around the world, people were just amazed, and it was just like a show of power. And the second thing is the moon has many craters. I have a picture of one, and there's a particular crater called Tycho, and it's high up on the ground, and it has radial discharge lines that are very long right. coming from it. And I'm wondering, the thing I'm wondering is the...
Hold on, we'll wrap up your comment after the break.
Okay.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin, let's wrap up your question for Professor McKinney. Almost out of time here.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. No, it's just that the photos I have shows craters on the moon, and they're in pairs. And you have a large crater, and you'll see another large crater fairly close to it. If you have a small crater, there'll be another small crater close to it. And I'm just wondering whether you've ever noticed that.
You have Mercury, you have the moon. A lot of times asteroids and small items are in pairs, but it's a random, it's like a shooting match. The moon's surface is a good example of everything that's flying around in outer space, and that's why, by the way, moon rocks have nothing to do with the moon. If you pick a rock up on the moon, it has nothing to do with the moon. It's something that came in from outside. That's how absurd all this hype about moon rocks is. But, and I just saw a picture of this Indian, supposedly a lunar lander from India, took a temperature at the South Pole. And once again, it's this nice carpet of a quarter inch of dust on the moon's surface. You know, it's just ridiculous. I don't think we've seen the moon's surface, really. And the other caller was talking about these seas, what they call Mars, the Mares, the seas of the moon. Yeah, the moon's surface is very different than what the photos that have been sent back. So anyway, but thanks for the call.
Okay, Kevin, thank you for the call. Jim, we're less than a minute to conclude your thoughts for the day, sir, and for the week.
Yeah, well, just remind people that Labor Day sale for the MR5 is on my webpage, which is linked from John's page. Huge savings for the MR5 that's called the Best Deal, and literally almost $1,000 off, so you can get that put in your home and be water independent. We also have a new product that just came out. It's a PFAS certified, NSF certified filter for PFAS chemicals, and in 20-inch variety. And so that's very reasonably priced for people that have a problem with PFAS chemicals. So thank you, John.
Thank you, sir. Have a great week, a great holiday, and we'll see you next Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. Wednesday, excuse me. Okay, we got top of the hour break. We'll be back with my friend Jeff Nyquist. Stay tuned, everybody.
People who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.